Welcome back to our Guthrie County Let's Talk program. I'm your host, Logan Mance. On today's show, we have Iowa Department of Natural Resources Conservation Officer, Jeremy King.
All right, Mr. King, thanks for joining the program.
My pleasure.
So Labor Day is coming up and people like to get out, and assuming it's going to be good weather, I've not checked the weather. We're recording this on Monday. But something that everyone likes to get involved with is boating and being to two lakes that we have, Lake Panorama and Diamond Head Lake. You know, what are some boating safety tips people should be aware of?
Yeah, it's a great question, a great topic. As you're aware, Labor Day is kind of the unofficial end of boating season. Even though there's a lot of good boating weather and the water's still warm after Labor Day, that's kind of that transition where people start thinking about putting away the boat and getting into fall mode. However, there will be a lot of people out on Labor Day, like they always do, just recreating on the water and enjoying it. Most important things, and most of this stuff should be squared away by this time, is one of those things you should check out earlier in the year, like Memorial Weekend and 4th of July. But you can never check too many times on your boat to make sure that you have all the needed things to make sure you're compliant and stay safe. And those things are going to be your life vest. We call them PFD, personal flotation devices. And it's going to be important that not only do you have those on board for everybody, but that they're the size that will hold that person if they were to go overboard. So a lot of people say, well, I got three or four. I got three people, but maybe they're all children's size life vests, and all you have is adults on there. That's not going to work. So check those things out. Another thing you'll need is if your boat's 16 foot or longer, it's a type 4 throwable, and that is in addition to your life vest. So if you have a 4-capacity boat, you have 4 life vests, 16 foot long, you're also going to need a throwable, which kind of looks like first base with handles, something we refer to as a seat cushion. And that is in case you come with a final emergency or somebody goes overboard, you can throw that to them, and you're not short of life vest in your vessel. Another important thing you're going to need to do is have your fire extinguisher ready and accessible. That is probably one of my bigger issues when I'm checking boats, is I will ask where the fire extinguisher is, and it kind of turns into an adult Easter egg hunt on the boat. Everybody starts digging around, and they're looking all over, and sometimes they find them, sometimes they don't have them. And if they do find them, a lot of times by this time of year, those fire extinguishers go bad because they're in that heat all the time. And then you're out there in the wave motion, and as you're running across the lake, those fire extinguishers take the beating and the pounding from the waves on the boat, and they'll lose that seal or that charge sometimes. So that's something to check to make sure that those fire extinguishers are always in working order, because they will go bad a little quicker on a boat than they will just sitting at a house or in a garage somewhere. And then another thing you need to have is your registration for your vessel. So anytime that you get checked, is required by law that you have that registration on board, so we can confirm that that boat that we're stopping is the one that's registered and owned by you or somebody that has entrusted you to use it. And one of the last things that we always check for also is children. If they're 13 years of age or younger, they're going to have to always wear a life vest on a boat, and it has to be buckled up and snapped on all the time while the combustible motor is running. So those are kind of the five big things that we look for on Labor Day weekend to make sure people stay safe.
Also, one of the things is when people are skiing or wakeboarding, what do they need to have if they're skiing or wakeboarding?
Yeah, that's another good one is we have an observer law. Some states have just if you have a mirror that works, but if you have a driver of a boat, and what the observer law is I'm driving a boat, I'm pulling two people on a tube, I have to have a passenger on board that watches those people that are being towed, whether they're skiing, tubing, kneeboarding, whatever it is, to alert the driver that they have fallen. Because we run into a huge safety problem when somebody's trying to drive a boat on a busy lake like our lakes are in Guthrie County, and then they're looking back trying to make sure nobody fell, and then they're looking back forward to try to make sure they're not hitting somebody. It's just a huge safety issue. So that observer is a pretty important thing, and it is required by law to do.
And does that observer need a yellow flag when a spear goes down?
Yeah, that's another great question. That's not required in Iowa. A lot of neighboring states have that, but Iowa does not. So it's not required by Iowa law. Not a bad idea, though. I know Lake Panorama, their association out there, has a rule that that you have to do that. However, that is not a state law, though.
And then with the age requirement for little kids. Is it illegal? Because I know some kids don't like wearing a life jacket and they strap it on as maybe like a diaper type deal. Is that something you look out for?
Yeah, that's also very popular, especially when people are anchored and they're just swimming off the boat and stuff, that we seem to wear things different ways because it's more comfortable. But no, it has to be properly fitting and put on in a proper manner to be legal.
And then another thing people like to get out and do, we are expecting them to do this over Labor Day, is floats. And then can you tell me some sticky tips for people out there floating?
Yeah, I tell you, floating has blown up in the last 5 to 7 years. I've been in Guthrie County. I grew up in Guthrie County, but I've been back as a warden for 14 and a half years here. And it didn't used to be so popular, and it's just blown up in popularity. And for nice reasons, it's a good, relaxing way to just enjoy a day. And a lot of people, we didn't have issues with, I should say, the floating until about 2 years ago when we hit a pretty strong drought. And then this year hasn't been as bad as last year, but we're still super, super low. And the last 2 years have been difficult for people to float. It's just been, the water level has been so low that they end up doing more dragging and walking than they do floating. And that has increased a lot of length times on how long it takes them to get from one access area to the next. With that being said, some people are adjusting well, and there's some people that go, well, I floated it 2 years ago, and it took us 2 hours to float 4 river miles. That's all it should take us this time. And then they get out and they go, man, I'm not floating hardly at all because we're dragging on bottom, the water's so low. So that 2 hour float is now a four and a half hour drag and partial float. And if you are putting in some of our areas, like at Nation's Bridge, there's an access area about 3.5 miles downstream. And if you go past that, you got about 6 river miles before you're getting out of the next access area. And that float could take all of a day. So, if you aren't a seasoned floater, that's one of the things I would tell people. Get together with some people, develop a plan, talk about where you're going, have those vehicles at access areas. Take a cell phone along. We had an instance about 2 weeks ago where 8 individuals got stranded on the river and lost. It got dark on them. It took them too long. They didn't know where they were. We ended up rescuing them in the middle of the night. And none of them took a cell phone along. And I know nobody wants to. Fear of losing it or breaking our life is one of those things, but it's pretty important that you have a cell phone in a Ziploc or a waterproof container that you can take along just in case of an emergency. But get together, make a plan, float that plan, take along some water, a flashlight if you think you're going to be pushing it, let people know, and just try to be safe and overly cautious.
With that, and people like to bring beverages, how should they get rid of those beer cans?
Yeah, we are very, very lucky because we have a beautiful stretch of river cutting right through middle of Guthrie County. And what makes it so nice is it stays pretty well litter-free. And these folks that use this river do a pretty darn good job of taking care of and picking up after themselves. But for every cooler you take with you, you should probably have a cooler that you can put your empties in. And even though it's not illegal to be floating down a river and having a drink or two, you just want to make sure that you're staying within your legal limits and that you're not putting anybody's life in danger yourself and that you're picking up after yourself, because those floats will stay pretty as long as we can maintain the pristine nature out there and not have it littered with cans and other paraphernalia.
And that was our Guthrie County Let's Talk program with our guest, Iowa Department of Natural Resources Conservation Officer Jeremy King. You're listening to Raccoon Valley Radio Network.